We've seen that every single one of us, whether we believe it or not, we have a call of God upon our life. And we have a destiny, and our destiny is in Christ. And what that means is that God, in all his wisdom, has designed a unique purpose or plan for each one of us. And he set this plan in motion before the world was even created. It tells us in 1 Peter 1 and 2, that we have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Jeremiah says, 1:5 says, before you were born, I set you apart. So even before we were born, it tells us right in the Word that God had already, we'd already been set apart. He already had all these plans for each of us all the way from the beginning. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Psalm 139:13 and verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I just find that so amazing. That's happened. Everything in our life, God already knows it. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows it all. All the way back, before the universe was created, when he put his plans together, he already knew everything about each one of us. That's just truly amazing. His plans for us are greater than anything we could ever have imagined. And if we follow after those plans, if we follow the call, if we answer that call that he's put out there for us, I mean, we're going to have the most amazing, most purposeful, most fun-filled, actually exciting life possible. But we also need to remember that the devil has plans for our life too. He knows how much God loves us. He understands how much God has done for us. And he can't stand that we're in God's good graces. He lost his place in heaven. Remember, he rebelled. He wanted to sit on the throne. His pride got the best of him. And now he is jealous of us. He's jealous that God has a place reserved for us in heaven. And he's going to do whatever he can to destroy you and derail those plans that God has already set in motion for your life. He's a thief, and he wants to steal from you. He wants to rob you. He wants to kill you. And he wants to destroy everything that you could do that would be good. He wants to destroy God in you. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that we have to be alert and sober-minded because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Not only do we have to be concerned about the devil, that's bad enough, but now we also have to be concerned about this world that we live in, this sin-filled world that we live in, because this world offers us an endless, parade, an endless variety of things to take our mind off of God. And that's what it does. It offers us an opportunity to follow everything other than God. And then, of course, we have to deal with this flesh here that we're stuck in until we get to go and have a new body that God will, have for us when we return to him. So we're dealing with the devil, we're dealing with the world, and we're dealing with our flesh. All three things. And when you add them all up, we're dealing with a lot of stuff. And all that stuff wants to pull us away from God. Everything, it's all designed, and it's all working to derail us, to knock us off the path, to get us out of our destiny, the plan that God has for us. The great designer, God, when he designed us, he had a specific plan in mind. And these things are trying to knock us off. 2 weeks ago, we saw that God's grace is more than sufficient to meet every need, any need that we would have and that will help us get through those trials, those hard times, those tribulations, those temptations. We know that according to Ephesians 1:19, we have this incomparably great power for us who believe. Inside of us, this power. The Holy Spirit's inside of us. The power of God. 1 John 4:4 tells us that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And that's true. I mentioned the devil and all the plans he's got for us, but you know what? Compared to God, he's nothing. He's nothing. Compared to us, all right, now he's got some power. Compared to God, he's nothing. And if God is in us, then we have power over him. We crush him underneath our feet. I could name 100 scriptures that tell us that we have everything we need to do what God has called us to do. And we do. We have whatever we need. But there's one thing that is important that goes along with all these things. Thank you, sir. And if we're going to finish the race, be successful, if we're going to walk in our calling, in our purpose, in our destiny, in God's plan for our life, we're going to do that. There's something that we need, and that thing is called perseverance. Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. It's telling us right there, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God. In other words, what it's saying is if you don't persevere, you will not do the will of God. You'll give up. And you also won't then receive all that he's promised us. Perseverance is what separates success from failure. It's the ability to press on when the going gets tough. And it will. It does. It has. We've all seen it. We've all felt it. And perseverance will eventually determine our fate and the pursuit of our goals. In the pursuit of our goals. Will we make it or not? One of the greatest examples of the power of perseverance is a man by the name of Thomas Edison. You may have heard of him. It was supposedly one of the most famous qualities of this man was his perseverance. He was known for that by all kinds of people. Everybody talked about how he just never gave up. He performed. When he was working on, he invented the battery, the storage battery. He performed over 10,296 experiments to create a battery. At around 10,000 attempts, some of his friends and coworkers began to tell him, you know what, this ain't happening, you need to give it up. 10,000 tries, don't you think that's enough? I mean, are you ever going to give up? And you know what his answer was? I haven't failed, I've just found 10,000 ways that don't work. After doing those 10,000 that didn't work, he did 296 more, and finally, he created the battery. Just think, you wouldn't have your cell phones, you wouldn't have your iPods, you wouldn't have your laptops, you wouldn't have any of those things if he hadn't gone that extra way. His most famous invention was the light bulb, which took more than 2 years to create. He went through over 3,000 theories and tried over 6,000 types of fiber to make the right filament. When he finally found one, a carbon filament with some, I believe, some cotton in it, it burned for 15 hours. He wasn't satisfied with that, so he kept on working for months and months more until he finally made a light bulb that lasted 1,500 hours. That's about what they last today. Edison never gave up his pursuits. And that's why he achieved so much success in so many different inventions. If he hadn't persevered, we might still have candles right up here in these chandeliers right now. Hey, if nobody else had ever thought of electricity, who knows where we'd be? making light bulbs, making all kinds of things. All these different inventors, that if they hadn't gone through it, where would we be? And now, if God is telling us to persevere, He obviously knows we're going to be going through some things. We're going to be going through troubles, problems, trials, hardships, rough times throughout our lives. And God knows it. He knows all about it. We don't persevere through the easy times. We enjoy the easy times. We enjoy the fun times. We don't persevere. Hey, I went to the show last night, saw a great show. Man, I really persevered and watched it. You know, what a great dinner. You know, we went out and had a wonderful lunch. I persevered. I got through it. That's not how we think. We enjoy those things. We had fun doing that. But we need to persevere through the hard times. I remember when I got hired in at Great Lakes Steel back a long time ago. And on Zug Island, I worked out there for a year. My first job there was a general labor, and this is where they sort of weeded out those who weren't going to make it. They stuck me in a room with two other guys. The room was about 20 by 20. It had three conveyor belts up over our heads and, you know, going like this. One came down and another one's going across, and they all sort of crisscrossed right in the middle of this room. And it was about 20 feet wide, 20 feet square. And we walked into that room, and the guy handed us a shovel. There were three of us. He handed each one of us a shovel, and he told us, you're going to take this coal dust from here and throw it up on this conveyor belt that's about 5.5 feet high. And when we were done, we could leave for the day. Well, that sounded nice until we actually walked in the room and saw that the pile was around 9 or 10 feet high. It was at least 3 or 4 feet over my head. It was about 12 feet across. It looked like the Rocky Mountains. So if I wanted to keep the job, I had to persevere. One guy quit after about 3 or 4 hours. It was hard work, lifting that stuff up, putting it way up over your head. Doing it took us about 12 hours. By the next day, we were part of the new film, The Walking Dead. You know, it killed us, man. That's what we looked like. That might be an extreme example, but we are going to find ourselves in a lot of situations where we say things like, you know, I can't handle this, or I don't need this. This is too much. I can't overcome this. I just can't do it. God, I just can't live up to your word. We'll be tempted to say, I give up. I quit. I think we've all felt times like that. Sometimes maybe we've even done it. But apparently God knows exactly what we need and exactly how much we can handle. And He is never going to give us more than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can endure it." You can endure. You can get through it. You can persevere. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." I can do this. I can do this. Just keep saying that. I can do this. I can do this. God is working His mighty power in us as we allow ourselves to be led by His Holy Spirit. These trials, these temptations, or whatever we're going through, these hard times, they are not meant to harm us. God is not allowing us to go into a situation to harm us. We know there's another scripture, Jeremiah, it talks about how His plans are not to harm us, but to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. That's the kind of God we have. These are exercises that build up our faith, that build up our faith muscles, if you want to say. And they help us to grow. They help us to mature as Christians. going through these tough times. We don't pray and they're gone. We pray and we get through them. They're still tough, but we get through them. James 1:4 says, "Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." See, if we get out of it every time, if somebody comes and rescues us every time, we don't learn how to deal with situations. If we're a parent and we never allow our child to go through a tough time, we always rescue them, they will never learn how to deal with life. And God's the same way. He loves us and He wants us to be successful, and He knows that we need training. We need to learn how to get through this stuff so we don't fail. And so He lets us go through things on sort of a growing or evolving basis, so we learn more and more, and this perseverance will finish its work so we become mature and complete, not lacking anything. The struggle is good for us. It's our opportunity to grow and to bring glory to God. This is how we train. This is how we learn how to walk in our destiny. It's no different than when someone trains to be a boxer or a baseball or a football player or a teacher or a lawyer or a painter or a musician or whatever we do. We got to first go through the training, the learning process, a missionary, whatever it might be. There's a lot of hard work. They're struggling. They're second guessing, wondering, did we make the right decision? There's a lot of things. There's dedication. There's blood, sweat, and tears sometimes. And that's what it takes to be good at something, to be successful at something, something worthwhile. And what could be more worthwhile than to become what God created us to be? To follow His plan, to bring glory to His name. There's nothing more important, nothing more worthwhile. So we need to have the same attitude that the Apostle Paul did. He said in Philippians 3:10 through 15, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection," and, well, nobody likes this part here, "and participating in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on, I persevere, to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead," pressing on, persevering, "I press on," there it is again, persevering, "toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." In short, Paul said, "I'm going to persevere." As we persevere and forge ahead, we become more and more of the person that God designed us to be. We begin to experience more of God's power in our life, more of the fulfillment, more of the sense of purpose, more of the joy of God that our Father wants for us. Just like I want for my kids, just like you want for your kids, I want them to enjoy life. I want them to have purpose. I want them to be successful. I want them to have a good life. I want them to have the best that they can have and have eternity with God. That's what God wants for us. Each one of us, we all start out like what they call the diamond in the rough. And that diamond doesn't really shine until it's been chiseled and cut and polished. Unfortunately, that's sort of what has to happen to us sometimes. The old iron sharpening iron kind of a thing. Paul said, "I know that I'm not perfect." I think we could all agree with him there for ourselves, that we know we're not perfect. "I've not yet obtained all this." Again, I think we can relate to that. We're not there. We haven't gotten it down. We haven't, you know, got everything together in Christ. But one thing I do, he says, one thing I do, I press on. I persevere. We can agree with him on that too. Paul always had his eyes on the goal. He set his mark on the goal. His goal was the mark that his calling heavenward, heaven, being with God. Too often we take our eyes off the goal and we get consumed with the here and now, with what we have to do, like right now, with getting up in the morning and, you know, going to work, with cleaning the house, with fixing the car, with going and getting gas, with making sure we got enough money in our account to pay our bills, with, you know, taking care of the dog, with, you know, going to the store, all these things. We get consumed with all that and we forget about the goal. Very easy. Because those things have to be done. But we got to remember there's a bigger goal. And if we always get hung up on the here and now, that's not a good recipe for success. Keeping our eyes on the goal helps us to persevere. It helps us get through all those other things. Paul viewed all the hardships and trials in his life with a peace that passed all understanding. Even when he was going to Rome for a trial and where he knew he was supposed to die, he was still at peace. He took his time on the way. He helped save other people. He spoke to people. He did all the things that he could do, whatever he could do, all on the way to his journey towards death that he knew was coming. Sort of like our life. And we all know death is coming. Maybe not, we don't know the town like Paul did, but he didn't know the time. He just knew it was coming. And Paul viewed all the hardships and trials of his life with this peace. He trusted God's wisdom. He put his faith in God's purpose and will for his life because he understood that there was no better way. Sometimes the way is hard, but if we trust in God, we realize there's no better way. When Jesus was in the garden praying to God, "Father, if there be any other way, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours." There was no better way. He had to go through his trial. We got to go through ours. Jesus even said, "Follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me." Same kind of thing. Paul knew he was becoming the person God created him to be. And he knew that everything that he was going through was just all part of the plan. He understood that. Paul had a good understanding of what was going on. Remember, he spent time with the Lord. He got up there into some whatever the third heaven is. He was there, someplace we haven't been to. He got some special insight from God. He had a greater understanding. That's why he wrote so much of our scripture. And he knew, someone with the most understanding of probably any of us, and he understood how important getting through these sufferings was, how enduring the trials, how going through them, how persevering, how pressing on and keeping our eyes on the goal. He understood how important that was, and he's trying to get that across to us over and over and over throughout the scriptures. He's constantly encouraging us to persevere, to not give up. You might be going through something right now in your life. Something that's making you feel like giving up. Something you've been struggling with for a long time. Something that you've maybe fallen a few times, maybe more. And you're wondering, am I ever going to do this? Don't give up. Don't give up. Too many people do. Too many people do. Don't give up. Press in. Press on. Dig in. Dig in your heels and don't give up. We've all got our struggles. Have you tried already 10,296 times? This is where we turn to God for help. We have to let Him guide us through this maze that seems, you know, impossible to us. This is where the Holy Spirit can comfort us and lead us into all truth and remind us of all that Roger has said. Or, excuse me, all that Jesus has said. This is where the Word of God can teach us and instruct us, train us, and maybe even correct us and rebuke us. This is where prayer can bring us closer to God than we ever thought possible. During those times, those hard times when we're ready to give it up. This is where worship can raise our spirits and bring us closer to God. It's right there when we get to a point where we say it's impossible that the God of all things are possible meets us. That's when He'll be there for us. If we reach out to Him, if we turn to Him, we just have to reach out to Him and seek Him. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. God's not going to run away from us. He's not going to abandon us. This is the furnace that refines us. Just like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace, if you remember, Jesus was right there with them. Remember that? And when they came out of that fire, they were stronger than ever. They didn't get burned up. They didn't even smell like fire. And if they hadn't persevered, they would never have experienced such great victory. Every victory makes us stronger and brings glory to God. We know that this whole world is filled with trouble. Job 5:7 says that man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Jesus told us in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Everyone in this world has troubles. Everyone. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old, black or white, female, male. Doesn't matter what your race, your nationality, doesn't matter what your faith is, doesn't matter, everybody. Everybody has troubles. And everybody thinks that theirs is the worst. You know? But I don't want yours and you don't want mine. We've all got our troubles. Some people try to drown their troubles in drinking, drugs, sex. Some people turn to eating, sleeping, isolating themselves. Maybe it's going to work all the time. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's buying stuff all the time. Whatever it is, we turn to these other things. We turn to something other than God. And every one of those things are just temporary fixes, and they cause more problems than they fix. The only way to deal with these problems is to overcome them. Is to overcome them through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, God in us. Remember, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who started the ball rolling. He threw the Holy Spirit again, bringing conviction on us. He wrote the story of our faith and our destiny. He was there at the creation, making our plans for us millenniums ago, already about our lives. And He's the only one who can perfect our life and finish it. That's why we need to turn to Him. Through Christ and His strength, we can endure. He knows how we can endure. He knows what we need to persevere. He knows exactly what we need. When the accuser wants to condemn us, Jesus is right there. He's right there interceding on our behalf. Whenever we are weak, He is strong. His grace is more than sufficient, and His power is made perfect in weakness. When we think we can only fail, we need to turn to God, and He can deliver us. Psalm 117:2, "For great is His love towards us." Your love never fails, as we just sang. "Great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Isn't that good scripture? Great is His love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. He will always remain faithful to you. He will never abandon you. He will never disown you. He will never reject you. He will never be gone away on vacation. He will never be too busy for you. The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. His great love towards us. God has given, is giving, and will give us the strength to persevere. His power is more than sufficient to bring us through any and every trial we could ever face. No matter how tired, no matter how worn, "I'm worn." You ever hear that song that's out there? No matter how tired or worn or weary you are, it doesn't matter. You know what He says then? Matthew 11:28, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Whatever we need to get us through it, He's going to do it. God is for you. He's your Father. He loves you with an unending love, and He is for you. He's expecting you, in fact. He's expecting you. In fact, He's prepared a place for you. In fact, it says in the Word that He's preparing a banquet for you. He's expecting you. And he encourages us to fight the good fight, to finish the race. Because He wants to welcome us home. He wants to say those words that we may have heard before, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Wouldn't you like to hear that when you've done a job and somebody comes up, "Well done, you know, that's a good job, man, you did a great job." Our Father in heaven wants to tell us those words too. Hebrews 10:36, last scripture. I already read it once, but I want to close with it. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Do you want the promises of God? Do you want everlasting life? Do you want to live in eternity with God forever? Do you want to have a new body? Do you want to have one of my favorites, trees on both sides of the river of life filled with fruit and food in every different season? We know we're going to have that. I love fruit. I don't like vegetables, but I love fruit. And thankfully, it doesn't say anything about vegetables in heaven. But it does say fruit, you know? So, see, God's on my side. And there may be salads there. I'm not sure, but, you know. But, you know, we got a lot of stuff going for us. And, yes, we are going to be beaten down some days. And you're going to feel like quitting. I'm just here to remind you today, don't give up. Don't ever give up. If God's put something in your heart, don't give up. If He's given you someone to speak to touch, don't give up. If He's given you the put inside of you the idea, the draw to overcome one of your habits that maybe aren't so good, don't give up. If He's been encouraging you to meet Him more often on a regular basis, don't give up. Even if we fall, even if we mess up, get right back up. Even if you fall 10,296 times, get back up. And as long as you keep getting up, you've never lost. you've just fallen. Just keep getting back up. Keep going forward until the day we get home. That's all that God asks for us. He knows we're not going to be perfect. But he wants us to keep going. He wants us to persevere. The victory is ours in Jesus Christ. It's ours. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Maybe you've been struggling with something and you've been ready to just hang it up. And God's speaking to you today. I hope he is. He's telling you not to give it up. To just renew your efforts. Renew your commitment. Get your strength from where it's supposed to be. Not your own willpower. Not your own muscles. Not your own intelligence. Not your own money. Not your own, you know, words of encouragement. It's God in us that is stronger. Maybe you need someone to pray for you today. Just to lay hands on you. Pray for you. Make use of that. Sometimes, the anointing of God, sometimes it's that step of faith. When we come up and we say, you know what, I'm going to make a visible show of faith. I want to take that step because I don't want to give up. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you are always there for us, that you have for us everything that we need. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who helps us to persevere. You don't just tell us to do it. You help us to do it. You give us the rest when we need it. You give us the strength when we need it. You give us everything we need to make it back home to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for being there for us. Even when we don't deserve it, we thank you. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for so many things, Lord God. We give all the praise and honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.